Okay, good afternoon. Anybody that knows me knows I can talk for hours on algae, so this 5 minutes is going to be a bit of a challenge, but we will move through it pretty quickly and then take questions. So if we look at algae and say, you know, what is all the interest in algae? If you look at any type of popular press or scientific magazines, there are constantly articles right now about algae. When we talk about algae, there's two basic ways to produce algae. So one is the way that you might normally think of, which would be the algae that you see out on a pond or in your fish tank, your aquarium. That's autotrophic algae, which means it grows kind of like a plant does. It needs sunlight, and it's going to do photosynthesis. And as you can see from this picture up here, if you're talking about autotrophic algae, there can be some basic problems with that. Keeping a pure culture in something that's grown outside and that has varying weather and temperature conditions can be very difficult. Keeping out just basic contamination from birds, animals, things, also quite tough. If your temperature varies much, like here in Kentucky, it can drop 30 degrees from day to night. It's hard to be very efficient in what you're trying to grow, because you don't have any controls of things like temperature and pH. So that is the one way that you can produce algae, and that a lot of people are talking about it as far as for biofuel production and cleaning up the environment. The second way you can produce it is called heterotrophic production. If you had a chance to visit our algae facility, this is what we're doing. And as you can see from this picture, it's a very controlled process. So it's in stainless steel tanks that you can sterilize, so you don't have to worry about any type of contamination. You're controlling the temperature of it, the pH, the nutrients that you feed it. So it's all very controlled, and you can have very high efficiency with this type of production. Again, this is the facility that we have in Winchester, Kentucky, so I do hope that you all got a chance to visit it. And what are we doing in this facility? We are producing a high-fat algae, so it's about 70% fat as we produce it. And the main fat on that is DHA. So what is DHA? You're all told to eat, you know, good fat. So used to, for heart health, it was eat a low-fat diet, and now it's be sure that you're eating healthy fats, good fats. So when we talk about omega-3 fatty acids, that's, you know, something that we're all familiar with for our health, and there are three main ones that we focus on. So that's ALA, EPA, and DHA. ALA typically comes from plants, so it would be high in things like flax, linseed. It's a very good source of energy, and it can convert in mammals to DHA. So that's ALA. EPA and DHA typically both come from fish. EPA is good for cardiovascular health, inflammation, and again, it can be converted to DHA in mammals. DHA is the one that we're primarily looking for. It's a very important fatty acid, essential to humans, so we don't naturally produce it. We have to get it in our diets. And if you think of babies, almost all prenatal vitamins are going to carry DHA in it now because it's so essential for the brain and eye development of the fetus. It's also contained in almost all infant formula, so it's very, very important to us. The other thing it's very important for is heart health, and that's why you're told to eat a couple of servings of high fat fish such as salmon a week. So again, as I mentioned, extremely important for brain and eye development. If you think about it, a three-year-old is recommended that they get 150 milligrams of DHA per day. But in the U.S., that average consumption for a three-year-old is 19 milligrams per day. And if you think about a three-year-old, they're not typically wanting to eat a lot of healthy fish, such as salmon or trout. So where are they going to get that DHA? And you can see that's a big discrepancy between those numbers. They're actually, besides brain and eye development, they're linking that to a lot of things right now, such as attention deficit disorder. Again, why do adults need it? American Heart Association, as I mentioned, they recommend that if you have coronary heart disease, that you're getting 1 gram of that EPA-DHA combination per day, so 1,000 milligrams per day. And even if you don't have documented heart disease, you should be eating an oily fish about twice a week. How many of you are doing that? How many of you eat salmon twice a week? Okay, a couple of you, so very good. Also, recent work is looking at the brains of older people. So they did a recent study where they looked at MRIs of a cross-section of older people and the size of the brain, and then they measured their blood levels for EPA, DHA. And there was a nice correlation between that increased size of the brain and having healthy levels of DHA in the blood. Now, the next step of that is they're going to go and then look at things like blood health and Alzheimer's and different things. But we all know that as we age, our brains shrink. It's also an indication of Alzheimer's disease. So this is some of the things that they're looking at, is that correlation. So DHA, we all say that you get it from fish. Also in like the fish oil capsules that everybody's taking right now. But how do fish get that DHA? They actually get it from algae. So if you look at this, they start with algae and diatoms in the sea, and crustaceans will eat the algae, and then small fish eat them, and then larger fish. So this DHA actually originates from algae. So what we're doing is we're going back to that very starting algae and producing it naturally in fermentation so that we can now produce that same DHA that you would get out of fish and bypassing that. So what does this mean as far as, you know, what we're here to talk about today? And this is a study that we did at Coldstream Farms at the university. So we're looking at adding algae at several different levels to layer diets. Oops, that's not showing what I want to show. But if you look at it here, so you can see down here on the increasing levels, basically what you'll see is the more of the algae that you feed to the layer, the more DHA that you get in the eggs. So we can start with a control diet. We added 0.5% algae, 1%, 2%. The more that you add, the higher levels of DHA that you actually get in the eggs. And then you might ask, well, what do those eggs taste like? Do they taste funny? So we then sent it off for a sensory evaluation, and we found that statistically, they were no preference for the control or the DHA eggs, so it had no negative effect. And with scrambled eggs, actually the DHA eggs were preferred. We then wanted to look at with milk. So we fed to dairy cows and wanted to look at what was the fatty acid profile of the milk after we did it. And what you see there is kind of interesting because you can see that we did increase the DHA level of the milk, but that wasn't the only thing. We also increased the CLA, the conjugated linoleic acid, which is also very important for health reasons. We increased the total omega-3, and then we decreased that ratio of omega-6 to omega-3, also very important from the health standpoint. So by feeding this, we didn't just have an increase in DHA. You can buy DHA milk right now in the supermarket where like the DHA oil has been added to the milk, and that just gives you milk with DHA in it. By feeding it, we have the health benefit to the animal as well as a completely changed healthy milk. So this takes it back more to like a grass-fed type of milk. Did the same thing where we fed it to broilers. We wanted to see what will the levels of DHA in the meat be like. This is just to give you a lot of options. So instead of relying on only getting your DHA from fish, now we're showing that you can get it in eggs, milk, and also chicken meat. So when we think about that three-year-old again who doesn't really want to eat fish, we would have a lot of healthy options for them to get DHA. What you see on this one in the breast meat, again, that we have increasing levels. So the blue is the control, red is by adding 2% of the algae, and the green is by adding 4%. So you can see the more algae that you add, the more DHA that you get in the meat. So that's a very quick overview of what we have going on right now with algae. And what we're doing here is looking at ways that we can feed the animals and have the health benefit to the animal as well as have a healthy end product for humans. So then I will be happy to take any questions.